You want her on camera?
I'm fine.
Okay.
I can do it. Wait. My mic's muted. Oh, no, that's better. Yeah, you want to do it without video?
That's honestly up to you. The only problem is, like, my microphone has to be, like, right here. So it's kind of, like, blocking my face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. All right, then how do I turn my camera off?
Should it be right in the middle of your screen? Are you on MacBook or are you on a Windows?
Yeah, I'm on a MacBook.
Dang, I don't know, dude. Just look for, like, the camera icon and, like, click it. Can you see me?
Yeah.
I'm there now. All right.
Yeah, that was easy. Okay, cool. Yeah, I can see you now.
All right, sweet. All right, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so let's get started. So I'm not going to introduce you because I'm going to, like, create, like, something else, and I'm just going to edit that and then throw it in there. So kind of just think like I introduced you already. All right, let's get started. All right, so what made you get into dropshipping?
So I was always pretty passionate about entrepreneurship. Like, it's something that I've kind of wanted to pursue after college, and I've known that since high school. And it all started with me just kind of Google searching, you know, how can I make money, like, while in college? Because I didn't have time to work, like, a full-time job because mm-hmm. I wanted to have, like, a social life as well. And I was like, I know there's ways to make money online. Like, I know there's something that I can do for my computer to make money. I just don't know what it is. So it just started with a bunch of Google searching. And, you know, I stumbled upon, like, all kinds of stuff, like affiliate marketing, you know, like other sorts of, like, Amazon fulfillment, like all sorts of stuff that you can do to make money online. But dropshipping was the one that had kind of, like, the lowest gates to entry. Mm-hmm. And since I only had money from, like, my summer jobs, like, I wasn't going to ask my parents for money or anything. Like, I wanted to do this on my own. It was the lowest budget thing that I could get into that actually saw meaningful returns.
Yeah, so, like, did you think it was an easy process to go from, like, not knowing anything at all to being able to actually, you know, run a business online?
I certainly thought it was a lot easier than what it actually is. The landscape has changed a lot, especially in the last 3 to 4 years, because a lot more people know about dropshipping. Like, if mm-hmm. you look at dropshipping on Google Trends, like, it's at 100 right now on the interest level. So it is, like, at its capacity, like, the most people ever are searching for it. So, yeah, a lot of people are kind of flooding the market, and you have to find ways to stand out because there are a lot of bad dropshippers that you don't really have to worry about.
Yeah, definitely. But
they also, like, they make the ad cost even more expensive because the more demand there is for that real estate, the more expensive Facebook makes it.
Yeah. So, like, do you think for now it's harder to, like, get into dropshipping before, like, back in the day when you started to get into it?
Yeah, it's definitely it's become harder, not in the sense that it's actually more difficult. You just have to run it more like a business. Like, this isn't, like, something that you can just kind of half know what you're doing and be profitable. Like, you need to understand how to run this like a business and run it as efficiently as possible so you still get the returns that you kind of could have gotten a couple of years ago with, like, less experience and, like, less work, essentially.
Gotcha. So, like, if when you first started off, when were you able to actually see profit and be able to tell yourself, okay, I actually can be able to run a business and be profitable doing this?
So I was breaking even for a while. Like, the first 3 months, I was either losing money or breaking even. So the first 2 months, I was, like, breaking even or just, like, losing a little bit, but not enough to discourage me. Like, I was losing, like, $100 a month, you know, like $200 a month. Like, it wasn't anything super serious, but I felt like I was learning a lot, so I wanted to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I was going to get better with, like, every single thing that, like, with every single aspect of the business over time, because there is a lot of stuff that you have to do on your own. Like, you have to be a man of many hats. Like, you have to know how to use Facebook and use Facebook marketing. And then you need to know, like, how to write ad copy. You need to know how to find products that you think are actually trendy and have, like, enough of a population of people that would want them that you can successfully scale campaigns, because that's where the big money is. Like, it's easy to find products that, you know, a couple thousand people would be interested in, but that's not realistic to advertise on Facebook because Facebook is using, you know, billions of people. And so you need to find a product that hits with enough of them so that when you target it, now there's maybe 200,000 people that are potentially interested in it, because those are the products that you can really scale aggressively. And then that's where, like, the big money is.
Yeah. So, like, when you first started off, like, what was the biggest learning curve for you? Like, what was your aha moment?
Like, the biggest aha moment I guess I had was product research. Like, I used to not do that much product research. Like, I would do product research, but it was very, like, if you think of it like an onion, like, I was just going to, like, the surface level. And there's a lot of layers to it that you need to check. And I think the big aha moment for me was, like, this summer, actually. So I worked with a private equity firm, and what we did there was a lot of, like, really detailed due diligence on companies and, you know, like, really understanding everything about their business. And I kind of took that same mindset and took it to my product. It's like, okay, I want to know everything I can about this product before I try to sell it. So, like, if I find a product that I like, for example, if I find it through Facebook, because that's one of the things I do, like, I just use the Turbo Ad Finder Facebook extension and scroll through my own feed. And if I see something that I like, I don't only just, like, look at it and I'm like, oh, that's a cool product, then go to AliExpress and import it. Like, I will go to the company's page, see if they're a branded store. I go to Amazon, I check if Amazon has, like, a similar product, because in today's day and age, like, Amazon can beat you with two-day delivery. And I know personally that I see social media ads for stuff, and then if I don't like the shipping time, or if I just want to deal with a company I know I trust, I use Amazon. So, like, there's a lot of people that'll just see a product and be like, oh, that's a cool product, that's a cool video, I can sell it. But I check the other selling platforms. Like, for example, if I find a really cool product that solves a big problem that doesn't have the same version of it or, like, a similar variation of it on Amazon, I, like, get really, really excited, because you want to find products that are really high in demand or have high demand possibility and that are in really low supply. So I check a lot of big retailers and see if there's, like, local places that could have this product, because I don't want to have a product that people see in the stores all the time, because that means, you know, it's probably kind of saturated and the people that want it have already got it. So finding something that's kind of new or a new solution to an old lasting problem. And then also things like, for example, when you have a Google Ads account, you can use Google Trends and Google Keyword Analysis and see how many people are searching for that thing a month. And then not only searching for that specific problem or a specific product, but actually searching for that specific problem. So, for example, if you're selling, like, an anti-snoring device, you could look up, you know, in your Google Ads Manager, when you go back to, like, keyword searching or whatever, you could search how to stop snoring or anti-snoring device, or, like, you know, how to eliminate snoring and stuff like that, or, like, anti-snoring products, and just do a bunch of different tests. Like, think like a consumer, like, what would they be searching for if they were having these problems? And then doing keyword analysis, like, if you see that a lot of people are searching for this product, but there's not a lot of people selling it, then you can kind of know with at least a lot more certainty than if you just did kind of, like, thin level research, that it'll be a good product. And that's how you, in today's market, because ad costs are rising, that's how you minimize your loss in this business, like, testing products. Because if you know with, like, an 80% certainty that you're at least going to, like, break even or make a little bit of money with a product, you can become a lot more confident and aggressive with your ad campaign strategies.
Gotcha. So, like, since you're kind of, like, going off to ads, like, how are you right now running your Facebook ads? Like, are you using, like, a funnel where you're just, like, top of the funnel, or are you just kind of running straight to conversions? Like, what are you doing personally?
So the way that I run ads, and there's a book on this, it's called the MVP approach. And it kind of opened my eyes to this. It's the minimum viable product approach. So essentially what I have right now, I'm in the middle of rebooting my business right now. So I've got, like, 6 products I'm about to test in the next coming days. But what I'm going to do is run $20 to $25 campaigns for each general. They're all general products, by the way. This is a general store. I haven't decided my niche yet. Essentially, with the MVP approach, I'm going to let the market decide where my business is headed. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to find as many really, really cool products that actually fit all my criteria as possible. And it takes a while to find these products. Like, yesterday I did product research for 4 hours and I think I found 4 products. Like, it's not something that I'm just very easily stumbling upon these products. It's a lot of looking at, like, Amazon Movies and Shakers, AliExpress, Facebook, a combination of all of them. And then just doing a lot of research, because a lot of the products, after, you know, on the surface, they look really good. But then after I do more research, I'm like, oh, like, maybe not that many people are searching for it. Or, oh, there's, like the exact same products on Amazon and a lot of people are buying it on Amazon. There's no way I can compete. Like, understanding that stuff to actually make educated decisions with it. And then I build all my video ads in Adobe Premiere. Highly recommend Adobe Premiere and Photoshop. Like I said, you got to kind of be a man of many hats with this. And if you don't know how to use them, Udemy, UDEMY.com, you can buy courses on them for like $10, and they're taught by professionals. Like you can, in like 1 week, you can learn both of these programs, and they will make your business so much better. Because looking trustworthy to a customer, especially with your video ad copy, is very important. So I'll make good videos for all of these. Like I will personally make the videos, so that'll take a couple hours, whatever. Then I will just do PPE campaigns for all of them, about $20 to $25. You know, just enough to get myself a baseline of, you know, consumer interest and, you know, like video views and all that kind of stuff that kind of builds a little bit of social proof.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually have a Google Chrome extension called interestexplorer.io. And it's $99. It's a one-time payment, but this is the best way that I've found to make a killing on cold traffic that there is. Essentially what it is it's a Google Chrome extension that taps into Facebook's API, and it looks for a bunch of really narrowed down, like laser-targeted interests that are similar to the broad categories that you search for. Hmm. For example, if I'm using, if I'm about to sell a product that's in the pet category, what I can do is I can go into the Google Chrome extension, whatever, pull up their website, and then search for interests that I can target related to pet. So the more broad you are, the better at first. So I'll just search like pet or like pet, you know, pet products or something like that. And it'll show me a ton of like really small audiences that are related to pet stuff. So I can actually look through them, and there'll be audiences as small as like 5,000 and 6,000 that are really laser targeted for specific people, you know, like pit bull owners, like people who like golden retrievers, stuff like that. You know, so like it, with those laser targeted audiences, it's much more certain that they're kind of in your target demographic. And so after I do my PPE campaign, I will take either a 75% video view or a 95% video view, just kind of depending on how much money I actually spent on the PPE to see if like I have enough data to do either of them. And I will target that interest, like a lookalike audience of those. And then in combination of like a 95% video views lookalike audience, I will find about 30 laser targeted ad interests that you can target. And I do a layering structure. So on the top half of this, if you can picture it, like the first thing you're targeting is 75% video views. Then you find, so let's say you're going to run 3 ad tests on this, and you're going to find 30 laser targeted audiences, because you need enough for each ad set to have about 90,000 in it. And so then you'll randomly take all 30 of those and build 3 sets of 10 that are layered together. So on the top part of this, it would be like a 75% video view audience, and then where it says like in the Facebook ads manager, you know, must include one of the following interests, you just add 10 of those laser targeted interests until you get a population of about 90 to 100,000 or more. But you don't want to have too broad of an interest, because then you kind of lose return on ad spend. But like at least 50,000 or more, right, that are in these audiences. And then you run those, you run 3 of those laser targeted ads and test it and see which ones perform the best, if you know any really stand out at all. But I've actually had a lot of success with this, and I've seen like killer return on ad spends by using this, because instead of the kind of method that a lot of gurus and a lot of people are actually teaching right now involves just targeting one really broad interest, right? Like if you have a pets product, mm-hmm. a lot of people just say like, okay, then like come up with 10 individual interests and try to, that are like around that niche, and try to target them. And they're all broad, you know, like if it's a pets product, it'll be like dog lovers, like cat lovers, like whatever, that are super broad, like have millions of people in them. But I've noticed a lot higher return on ad spend when you get these laser targeted interests, because instead of just being like a dog's lover or a cat lover or something like that, you can find audiences of people who are like way more invested in their dogs, you know, like that follow pages that are related to their specific breed of dog or something like that. Like the people that care more about, you know, that interest. Because Facebook, when it gives you those broad interests, it'll give you 2 million people who are somewhat interested in the like in the interest, right? Mm-hmm. But these laser targeted ones, like if there are only 5 or 6,000 people in that, like they have to be, like Facebook has to be really strongly certain that they're in that group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I layer like 10 of those and put them all into one thing. And then on top of that, I use a lookalike audience of my video views, because that is, you know, similar to like how much interest those people had. So I'll try to find people that fit one of those target audiences, and then in combination, would be similar to somebody who viewed a bunch of the video ad, because that's how you sell people, is with good video ads. And that has delivered me really high return on ad spends on completely cold traffic. Like without retargeting, I've seen return on ad spends as high as 5 times, sometimes even 6 times for a few days.
Wow. So like, but how many people are you running in your lookalike? Like, is it a 1,000, 100,000? Like, when do you actually start running your lookalike audience?
I start running my lookalike audiences when I think I have enough video views to make it worthwhile. So since I'm just doing video views, I try to have, like, if I'm doing, let's say, 75% video views, it would definitely be pretty nice to have a few thousand 75% video views, so Facebook has enough information on who you're trying to target. And I would also recommend you can do worldwide PPE campaigns, but I personally like to spend a little bit more money and do PPE campaigns that are in the big four, just because there's a lot of like traffic that you can get from PPE campaigns from bad countries when you do worldwide PPE campaigns. And I just think it kind of messes with my pixel a little bit. I'd rather have my PPE campaigns just target the countries that I'm actually going to try to convert in, because culturally those people are like the most similar, and that are like, then the video views that I actually get will be more meaningful, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, can you kind of tell us like, what is PPE and what's the big four?
Okay. So the big four are like the US, you know, like Canada, Australia, the UK. Some people will throw in like New Zealand and stuff like that. Like, basically, you want to find countries that are flourishing economically and that English is like their primary language. So that's why I stick with those big four, because those have the highest English-speaking populations and they're the most economically developed countries that have a lot of disposable income that can buy things that aren't maybe necessary in their life, but they would definitely enjoy to have. Like, you don't want to be targeting people in, you know, the Middle East or in poorer parts of Asia, because there's no money to be made there. Like, if you're targeting people in the Philippines, most of the people in the Philippines cannot afford to just spend $30 on a product that they just want to have for their own enjoyment. You know, like, most of their money is going towards stuff that they actually need in their life, and they don't have the expendable income to just buy stuff that they see on social media. So the big four are the ones that speak the best English and like speak English naturally, so your ads will resonate with them the best because of like your own ability to speak English, essentially. And then you can build websites that are tiered towards more of like what kind of those consumers want. Like, an American consumer is a lot different than a consumer from, you know, China. Like, China, they already know about AliExpress. Like, hitting them with a Facebook ad isn't going to do much, because they know they can get it cheaper. So you want to find the people that can spend more money and the people that speak English, and that's the big four. And then PPE is a paid post engagement. So there are certain conversions that you can use on Facebook, and those conversion windows that you set for them are kind of like the metrics that you tell Facebook that you want to see. So a paid post engagement is where you give Facebook the kind of instructions to put that video in as many people's faces that they think will engage with it, based on kind of like the interest that you set on it for the paid post engagement. So I typically do it very, very broad. Like, when you do a paid post engagement, I'll only put like a single interest and sometimes no interest, and just let Facebook kind of do its work. It'll figure it out pretty quickly, but sometimes just putting like a singular broad interest, like if it's a pet product, just putting pets or something like that, enough to give Facebook kind of a starting point of what kind of people would be interested in it. And it's really cheap to get a lot of pretty decent engagement. Obviously, you shouldn't really be expecting to get purchases or anything like that, because you didn't give Facebook that objective. You know, it's putting in front of people who they think are going to engage with it, who not necessarily are people that would want to make a purchase. So That is just to give a pay post engagement is essentially giving your Facebook pixel and your Facebook business manager the information that it kind of needs to build a profile for what your ideal customer is, especially for that specific product. So each product has like a product ID or whatever that Shopify gives it and that Facebook gives it. And with retargeting campaigns, that's important because you can retarget people based on what specific product they're interested in, especially with me where I'm like running a general store to kind of figure out what niche market I want to potentially pursue. That's really important for retargeting campaigns. So a PPE is essentially giving Facebook some data on what kind of people it should actually be targeting, because obviously there's a lot of different people, especially like even in those big four, like very diverse countries, like have a lot of different personalities and people with very different interests. And you need to give Facebook some kind of building blocks to figure out, okay, these are the type of people that this company is trying to pursue, because these are the type of people that will convert the best.
Yeah. So you talk about PPE and you talk about video views and scaling, essentially. So like when you're running your PPE, and then, you know, you start getting information and data from the video views and stuff like that, what do you do with it? Like, how are you taking it to scale?
So what I really focus on is building like a step-by-step increase in the amount of data that I have with my customers. So at first, obviously, video views is the easiest, most attainable thing to get on like a Facebook video. That's enough to give you a kind of idea of what kind of people engage with that kind of content. Then the next step is to continually, the reason that I like this, the cold targeting strategy that I did, is because it's just, the audiences are pretty small. So it's just enough to get you really, really good data for building lookalike audiences. Lookalike audiences are kind of like my bread and butter. That's letting Facebook's algorithm do the work. And when you set it up in a campaign budget optimization system, it's really easy to let Facebook kind of figure out and do the dirty work for you. So, you know, it starts with things like who's like a lookalike audience on who's most likely to engage with my post, you know, video views and stuff like that. Then once you have enough data, let's say you have at least like, you know, 50 or 60 link clicks on your, you know, or interactions with it, then let's let Facebook try and make a lookalike audience for each country on based on like how likely they are to click a link or actually like click your link to try to shop now. And then, you know, let's take it from, you know, actually just interacting with your ad and going to your website to let's see if we can do the top 25 percent of visitors that spent time on your site. You know, Facebook is very, very powerful. It can tell you which people, based on the people in the past that spent the most time on your site and spent the most time on certain products, were pretty interested. So you can use like a top 25% of time spent on your site, because those people were probably more likely to actually be considering the product. Then you can do a lookalike audience of people who added to cart but didn't actually check out. And then once you get, let's say, like 100 add to carts, or at least 50 is my baseline before I test each action, but 100 to 150 plus is most ideal. It really just depends on the type of budget you have. But, you know, I would try to stick with, like, if you're making good money off your baseline ad sets, like, don't stop running them. Like, keep running the ones that are video views and stuff like that if they're still making money. But as those start to kind of dry out, and you need to keep scaling, once you kind of realize that you want to scale it more aggressively, or you think you have enough data, then just take it to the next step. And I basically go step by step all the way to initiate a checkout where they got to the payment page but didn't make a purchase. And then lastly, when you have about 150 actual conversions on the product, which if it's a good product, you can get there relatively quickly, then you can build lookalike audiences on purchase campaigns. And that is where the big money is. That is because Facebook can now build really large audiences of people that are very similar to people who have made purchases on that specific product or on your site. And those audiences can be a lot bigger than those laser targeted audiences that you started with on cold traffic.
Gotcha. So for like someone that's a beginner, like a true beginner, maybe someone who's watched maybe one or two videos, right? Where would you tell them to start off?
I would tell them to start off on YouTube, and there's a lot of people that honestly, like, if you're going to start a dropshipping business, like, don't listen to a YouTuber. Like, don't listen to their stuff like it's the Bible, unless it's somebody really, really good at it, like Gabriel St. Germain, Jordan Welch. Those are two guys that I watched a lot that got me a really good foundation of how Facebook actually works and how to build really solid ad campaign structures. And then a guy that I mentored under Matt Riley, his YouTube is Dropship Deluxe. He's starting to make some really good videos, and he has some good content on Google Ads, which is another way to really kick up your return on ad spend, because even though Facebook is where more customers are and you can reach a mass amount of people, Google Ads can get you some steady, like, residual income on the side that's really high in profit margins through Google Shopping campaigns. So when you have a general store and you have, you know, a couple hundred products on there, by the time you've really tested a ton of things, you can build a Google Shopping campaign and then have those running on the side. And you pay based on link clicks, and the conversion rate's a lot higher because people are actually searching for that problem, or actually searching for that product and clicked on yours for a reason. So it's a good way to just kind of boost the margins of your business.
Yeah.
But if you're an absolute beginner, like, try to learn as much as you can about just every single facet of the business. So I think a lot of people don't realize how tough Facebook ads are. Like, you have to have a strategy, because if you don't, Facebook is just going to eat your money and you're not going to make anything. Like, that happened the first 1,000, like, I took my time with it, and the first $1,000 I spent on Facebook ads, I got back about 800 in product sales. And that doesn't even, you know, account for the amount that I had to spend to get the products there, and then the time I had to invest in customer service and stuff like that. Really take your time to just kind of understand how the business works, and specifically how Facebook works. And I can't stress enough that, like, courses on Udemy, like, if you don't know how to use something, like, get a Udemy course. They're cheap, and they usually give you enough information to become moderately proficient in whatever subject it is. So, like, Adobe Premiere, Adobe Photoshop, like, those are two great ways to make good product images and good product videos that stand out. And for $10 each, you can get a course on Udemy on both of those platforms. And for $20, you can basically learn how to not master them, but understand them well enough so you can be ahead of your competition. Same with, like, if you need to track your finances, like, use Excel or something like that. Like, you can get a course on Udemy. And the same goes for dropshipping. There's some very basic courses that'll give you overviews, and they're low investment. Like, you don't need to invest in a $500 course or a $1,000 course to figure out kind of the business model. And if just with $10 or $20, you can get a kind of foundation and see if it's something you want to do, that's a great place to start. Also, some advice for a beginner, you don't need, like, a paid theme when you initially start. You can build pretty solid stores with free themes. Like, I can tell you right now, here's, like, a free, like, information thing that, that I know that can help a lot of people. Venture right now is the best free theme on Shopify, and I know this because somebody that I know has split tested, you know, with hundreds of thousands of dollars in Facebook ad spend. And Venture is an entirely free theme from Shopify. It's super easy to build a pretty solid looking site on, especially when you add the right applications, and it converts the best by far of all the free themes.
Yeah, because, like, I think one of my, as, like, when you were talking in the beginning, when I first started off, I did spend a lot of money on Facebook ads. But the one thing that I can say is I did learn a lot, like, wasting that money on Facebook right. ads. But, like, for me personally, it was more or less not just one thing. And I think you stress that a lot. Like, just don't take one person as, you know, the Bible, you know, kind of venture out and learn things on your own. So, yeah, that was one of the big things for me. Like, you learn one thing and then you think you know everything when and the reality of it, you really know nothing.
Right. Yeah. And there's plenty of free content, too, on, like, how to use these applications that I said. I know I said Udemy is a good place, but if you really don't have the money, like, you can learn so much through Google and Facebook. Like, anytime you have a question, Google it, you know, get in some Facebook groups, and you can just kind of learn stuff through other people's questions, and then get onto YouTube and try to find a video on the subject. It's very easy to teach yourself how to be really good in this business, everything from logo building to how to run your ad campaigns. how to create good ad copy. I mean, I've even learned stuff. I've learned so much stuff through free knowledge that I didn't have to pay for. But every little tip that you know makes your life exponentially easier. Mm-hmm. Like, I learned how to build a really solid Contact Us page, and I'm now trying to learn how to use JavaScript to, instead of having to pay for a tracking application that has like a monthly fee, I'm just going to paste some JavaScript into my website and make it so people can track their website, their purchase directly through that. So hopefully this can lower the amount of time that I have to spend on customer service and back and forth emails and stuff like that. There was also some free email templates that I found online that people will give away, like on customer service, how you should be responding to emails, how to maximize, you know, because when customers get really upset with you, you feel like really inclined to be like, oh yeah, like, I'm sorry, like, here's your money back. But ultimately, like, that kind of stuff and that money that you could just be giving back to them, you can still keep so long as you have good customer service and you actually, you know, like, make them feel like a good customer, like a valued customer. So people are way less likely to demand refunds if you treat them well throughout the process. And finding the ways to treat them well is just something you kind of learn over time. But there is a ton of free information on it. Like I said, like, there's definitely tons of great YouTube videos on how to deal with customer service, how to deal with, you know, refund policies and all that kind of stuff that you can find online and then decide what aligns best with you. Like, if you want to have a really good refund guarantee policy, or if you want to actually make them return it back to you, like, to get a refund, that's up to you. But there's just tons of stuff that you can learn for free. And I would say the more time you actually invest in each and every facet of the business, the better you'll be from the start. Like, the more time you actually spend trying to learn stuff before you implement it, the better you'll be on your first go around.
Yeah. So, like, for you personally, where do you think you're going to go with the information that you've learned and, like, all the data you've collected? Like, are you going to create, you know, videos, or you're going to create a course? Like, what do you see yourself in, like, a year from now?
So, like, a year from now, I'm actually starting to kind of set some goals for myself. So, with dropshipping, what my main objective is to, I would say I'm about 95% done with my general store that I'm building right now. I need to add some more products, but I'll set up all my Google and Facebook ad campaigns and start running a general store to just, I'll use that as my testing ground of the market. And then once I find what kind of products I'm really good at selling, I'm going to start selling those really good products. Like, if I find that I'm really good at selling like home and garden products, or if I'm really good at selling beauty products, like, whatever, that's the kind of niche store that I'm going to make, because that's where you can make a ton of money, especially through cross sells and email marketing. Like, if you have a specific customer that, you know, like, a specific customer profile, and then you build an entire product platform of those products, like, email marketing is such a valuable resource, because those emails you already have, and you can just bring in, you know, incredible returns through free, or, you know, a monthly rate email campaigns. That's where, like, a ton of return on ad spend is, and that's where the better margins are too. Like, if you look like an actual brand in the space, people are way more likely to spend their money with you, and then way more likely to spend money with you in the future. So I think that's what's most important in dropshipping, is finding a source of long-term income, because a lot of people just try to ride the next wave from product to product. And while that's great, and that's kind of what I'm doing to jumpstart my store, I'm more so of looking for something long-term in, like, a market that I can really develop a trusted brand in, using fulfillment centers, lowering my shipping times, and actually becoming reputable in the space, because that's where I can make more money. Then, I mean, if I get the success that I want to get to, like, I'm kind of hoping that I can be, you know, pulling in at least $5,000 or $6,000 profit every single month, you know, start, you know, by like probably about next month. And that's kind of where I want to be. And if I can get there, then yeah, I would definitely consider making some educational content about what I actually do, because I think there's a lot of little things that I've learned over time that, that I haven't seen in a lot of big courses. And I think I'm pretty detail oriented. And if I actually took my time to make one, I would find a really good way to include all that kind of stuff and help other people be successful. But I think, I mean, I've tossed around the idea of building some sort of business-to-business service with either digital marketing or some sort of servicing agency, just because I understand, you know, building websites and building good social ad campaigns and scaling networks and stuff like that. So I may look for something that has more long-term potential, that has higher profit margins on it and like retention fees and stuff like that, where I can keep making like a lot of passive income that is kind of like, I would kind of outsource a lot of the work. And I think my long-term goal is, once I graduate school, is to just have, you know, if I'm not going to pursue e-commerce full-time, I want it to be still a really good kind of, I like, side business is the word for it, but you know, I'd be making a lot more money than what a lot of people think is like a side business. You know, I'd be making a considerable amount of money through it. And it would, you know, if I could, shit, like when I graduate college, if I have enough to pretty much double my salary with something I do on the side that I'm passionate about, you know, my quality of life would be a lot better. I'd be a lot happier with myself. And it's something that you can do from your laptop. It's something that you can do when you have time for it. So it doesn't have to be the end all be all. Like, it doesn't have to be the one specific thing that you pursue, but if you get good at it and you can repeat your results over and over again and continually get better every single time you run a new ad campaign or build a new store, then yeah, there's pretty much infinite amounts of money to be made, so long as you do good product research and build reputable websites and kind of build a brand around them.
Yeah. So like, for to end it off, is there anything like you wanted to add, like anything you wanted to share?
Yeah, I would definitely, so if you're actually serious about this and you're actually serious about doing anything entrepreneurship related, get an LLC, protect yourself, protect your liability. Like, literally all it takes is one screw up and one copyright infringement to just like, you know, to make you personally liable for something. Like, maybe you try to sell a product on AliExpress that you thought you did some good research, but you know, somebody had a copyright on it or somebody had a patent. Like, you don't want to screw yourself over. I've never had an issue with it, but I mean, I've seen the horror stories on like YouTube and stuff like that of other people that have. So I didn't take the chance. I built myself an LLC. And then also make sure you're keeping, like, if you're going to run this seriously, like, make sure you're keeping track of your finances. Like, if you do get an LLC, you know, all this money moving through your digital accounts is like obviously going to be monitored by the government, and you don't want to be personally liable to the IRS for a bunch of money that you don't have, or you know, you've already spent because you didn't even think about taxes, right? Like, this is a real business. Like, you will get taxed on your business. So, you know, if you need to install like into your Shopify store an app like QuickBooks, or if you're just, you know, if you're good enough with Excel and you can just build some basic financial spreadsheets, keeping track of that stuff is really important to actually making this like an evergreen kind of thing and long term. I didn't do it at first, but you know, it kind of bit me in the ass. Like, I ended up having to pay taxes, and you know, I had, you know, let's say I had like $4,000 or $5,000 like in my bank account, and all of a sudden I was due for like $2,000 in taxes, and I just completely forgot about it. And so then all of a sudden my checking account was like cut in half. I'm like, shit, I need to keep up with this. You know, like, that's something that I can't just like have hitting me. Like, what if I was, you know, investing a lot into these ad campaigns with the store and I needed that money to scale, and now I'm, you know, now I don't have the money to do it, and I'm making a lot less money as a result. Just keeping everything run really like a business, and keeping track of the little stuff that may sound tedious and may sound boring, but I promise, like, in the long run, this stuff will kind of like save your life. And then just never stop trying to learn stuff. Like, even though I would consider myself like successful with this, and I already know enough to make myself an amount of money that's comfortable to me digitally, I am trying to learn more like every single day. I'm always watching videos of people who make more than me and trying to pick up new strategies. That's how I found out about the interestexplorer.io, like, Google Chrome extension. I just saw somebody else using it, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, you can build some really laser targeted audiences and then just use LLA, like, lookalike audiences to scale. And so that's just like a little tip that I learned that ended up making me a bunch more money. And I wouldn't have learned it if I wasn't actively trying to learn, by being active in Facebook groups, by being active in, you know, these dropshipping entrepreneurs' YouTube channels, you know, using websites to find courses. Like, I still buy courses on Udemy. If I see something that looks interesting, like, I still buy it, because even if I only learn a thing or two, like, I'm only paying 10 or 20 bucks, and that thing or two may make me a couple hundred extra bucks a month, or something like that. Like, I, for example, if you don't know what Alipay is, Alipay is a kind of like gift card kind of thing that you can buy for AliExpress, and you can just buy like vouchers for however much money you want to put on it. So for me, I'll put like $500 on my AliExpress account, right? And then when I have to order orders, all I have to do is use Alipay, and it's instant, and it's a lot easier to track. Instead of tracking all these microtransactions between my credit card and AliExpress, like when I'm doing my finances, all I have to do is like okay, I paid $500 for Alipay, and that's like the only expense I have to track, instead of all these little micro expenses of like, you know, $5.95 or like $9.99 of all these products that I'm ordering. So that makes my life a lot easier. Getting a rewards card, getting a credit card with rewards, like you are spending a lot of money on ads when you actually scale this stuff.
Absolutely.
Don't let it go to waste. Like you can earn free trips. My mentor that has been teaching me everything, that's the Matt Riley guy that I was talking about. You know, he was doing like 128 grand a month on one store. And so obviously with the expenses, that's like 80 grand a month going on that credit card. And that's 80 grand, in points that he can earn, or whether it's, you know, 1.5% cash back or Sky Miles. Like he traveled across the world for free pretty much because he was just using Sky Miles that he earned from his credit card. Like, don't let that stuff go to waste. You're spending so much money. Please don't put it on a debit card, but also manage your finances so you don't go into credit card debt. You know, don't try to scale anything too aggressively that you can't manage. I say, it's a lot better to make like a little bit of money at a time than to try to go all in on something and end up broke. Like I definitely, when I found good products, when I first was starting, I got really excited and then tried to scale them so hard that Facebook couldn't keep up with me and Facebook couldn't build big enough audiences to scale the way I wanted to. And I would take a product that was making me $300 a day, and then, you know, maybe like 150 in profit a day to, you know, $1,000 a day. But I was still only making like $200 profit a day, and I was exhausting my audience a lot quicker. So definitely give Facebook time to develop better audiences, because you'll get a better return on ad spend, and you'll make more money in the long run. And then please use text as a retargeting campaign. Like download an app in your Shopify store. People open text a lot more, and if you get a phone number on an initiate checkout, you can like triple your conversion rate and have like a 7 or 8 times return on ad spend for retargeting through text and an email. You know, definitely make sure you have an abandoned cart sequence set up. You know, ad costs are getting more and more expensive, and you want to pick up every single customer that you can. So especially if they're showing that kind of interest to add at the cart or to initiate a checkout, don't let them get away. You know, like at that point, you've already got their information. It's entirely free, or, you know, free enough to retarget them, because it's pretty cheap with an email marketing plan or a text marketing plan. You know, don't let them get away. Those are your big margins right there. You've already used your Facebook ad spend to get their information. Now use that information and create value out of it. You know, find a way to offer them promotions or cross sells through email marketing and get, you know, get essentially free sales through that. Make sure you're doing that, because in dropshipping, like if you're not doing that, it's really hard to survive. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, like doing the little extra things to make your business profitable. If you're not, you know, like if you're not retargeting properly or doing stuff along those lines, that's just money, that's just profit you're missing out on, and that'll hurt your bottom line a lot.
Yeah. Well, that was a ton of information.
Yeah. I tried to give you as much as I could. Yeah,
dude, that was great. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm definitely going to be using some of the tips that you've mentioned. Definitely going to run back through this. Yeah, I really appreciate it, man. Good luck in the future with your business. And yeah, that's it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. I'll let you know how my store does in the next couple of weeks, and then I can try to give you some updates or tips that I learned through it.
Yeah, definitely. We can definitely run back with this again. Definitely.
All right. Sounds good. See you, man.
See ya. It's good.